tazkiyah and tafsiyah, rectification of the nafs, the soul. Alhamdulillah, we are accustomed to and used to hearing these words and these statements because this is the gathering that we regularly hold, and this gathering is also in this regard. It is linked to the pious predecessors, their teachings, and with this subject in mind, I am presenting some valuable and precious words in your service. And tazkiyah, purification, and tafsiyah, purification and cleansing, and rectification of the soul, and islah, rectification of the nafs, the base desires, that the impurities within us, the impurities, the bad habits, the sins, the meaning of tazkiyah and tafsiyah, thus is that we went to our Shaykh, my Hazrat, rahmatullah, and immediately all of these things will just come out and get washed out. Or for example, you know when you throw water onto a fire, in this way it will be eliminated and these things will be eliminated and nothing will be left. And when this doesn't occur, then the person becomes totally, he loses hope. He says, I went to the gathering of my teacher and I didn't attain the objective for which I went to. And this is a very important point that I'm presenting to you, because mashallah, all of you are following this chain. You are students and talib ilm. You are students in this line, in this subject. So this is not the case. This doesn't happen. We shouldn't have this expectation that if something doesn't get eliminated and wiped away, we think all of the good things from that subject and from that company have disappeared and we will not benefit. We will become angels within one sitting with our teacher. We'll start floating in the air and dreaming and visions. And we don't have nothing with us and we don't want to practice at the same time. We think that just by one sitting or hearing one bayan, everything will be reformed. No, this is not the case. My brothers, the means that Allah Ta'ala has given to us through using these and sticking to these, we get the promotion and we get near to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And these are the ways to Qurbi Allahi, the nearness of Allah. And if these means and the efforts that we make, they end and we eliminate them from our life and don't strive and make effort, then the whole game is finished. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a path to reach close to me through the efforts and striving. And this is the path that we have to follow. If you are there, you're present, and there's a man, say, and he makes effort for you, sacrifices for you, his time, his efforts, he takes hold of difficulties and problems due to you, then what will he be? As he will bear the difficulties and the time will pass, and unconsciously, his love, will it not come into your heart when a person is serving you, assisting you, when he sacrifices more for you, and he sacrifices his time, his effort, his energy, and he does more and more for you, he helps you, gives you favors, assists you. You will love that person, that he assists me in hard times, difficult times, he was with me. How can I forget this person? He has love for me, I cannot leave him either, and you will make him your mahbub, your beloved. So when this rule is applied, that when these feelings are within us and these principles are within, for example, I'll give another example. Let's take the eye, eyesight, visibility. When a person looks at something impure and nafs, your desires, is telling you, shaitan is advising you, oh, look how nice this is, look how attractive, look at the house. Oh, look at this, the car, look at the, forget the things of the world. Let's look at the human form of the body of this person. Let's say the opposite sex. And he says, look at the clothes, look at the hair, look at the shoes of this person, look at the skin color. We say, no, we're not looking at something wrong. These are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the creation of Allah. Look how beautiful Allah ta'ala has made things and creatures in the world. We just want to praise Allah and recognize and appreciate. This is deception that takes a person towards zina and evil use of the eye. But when a person, due to the fear of Allah, due to the order of Allah, due to the love of Allah, yes, when he grabs hold of his nafs and he sacrifices his desires, his base desires and nafs, then this is an effort and struggle. That when the person's controlling his nafs and his desires and attractions at that time, he knows that inside he's got a struggle. There's a tussle going on. There's pain. And he's sacrificing his desires at the time, his attraction. It's like a storm's brewing inside. No one's stopping him. No one can tell him. No one can explain to him. He can do all of the sin himself. And the jazbat is within. He can do the action that shaitan is saying. And Allah Ta'ala, he thinks that no one's looking at him. But Allah Ta'ala is looking at him. And he's got yaqeen that Allah's watching him. And for the sake of Allah, that believer stops himself or herself. And this is not a small action, my friends. This is a great, great battle within the person, within in his batin, that he's tussling with his desires, his nafs, shaitan. And this is the case with all sins that are in front of us. You have the strength, you can commit adultery, fornication, you've got money, you're young, you've got strength and energy and power, and the conditions are right. But straight away, what stops you? The fear of Allah. And that's stopping. That hesitating, that's not some easy feat, my friends. You're in isolation, you're on your own, it's the middle of the night, no one's watching. And there are many things that you can watch until the morning. But what hesitates? What makes me hesitate? What stops me? No one's watching me, no one's assessing me, no one's overlooking me, breathing down my neck. And tomorrow morning I'll put the miswak, use the miswak and use the surma and put my libas on. And people do salam to me and smile at me. And no one will think and know that what I did. But I stopped due to the fear of Allah. No, no, no. I shouldn't do these actions in the night. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. I shouldn't do this. He controls himself. And he's sweating at that time. He's shaking. This is a great action. This is great tussle with the nafs within. And this is not something insignificant, my friends. Don't think this is a minuscule action. I remember a brother, and I liked this account. You know, some people come and tell me their situations and their issues. And he narrated to me an account. He said, Hazrat, the reality is this, that tahajjud is very easy for me. But saving my eyesight from the evil eye, from the evil watching the evil things, is very difficult. And this is what happens. Ibadah becomes easy. Ramadan is about to come. We will stay hungry. Long days, mashallah. 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. We will forget that how long was the day. That is it keeping the fast or is it now breaking the fast? That's how long the day will be. But after a few days, you'll get used to it. The first few days may be hard. After a few days, you get used to it. You start doing the suhoor, and then you won't eat or drink all day long, and you'll become accustomed to this. And the rule, the spirit of Ramadan is what? That you must not do the sins internally. Don't backbite against someone. Don't slander anybody. Don't lie. Don't speak badly about anyone behind their back. Don't have bad thoughts about a person in your mind. Why? Because despite all of the mujahidah you will do, the struggling and striving, you'll do ibadah. But shaitan makes you do ghibat. And he makes your eyes wander and stray. He makes the tongue waggle and say wrong things. Isn't it? So even at that time with that ibadah, when a person controls himself, then he is struggling and striving. This is not something minuscule, insignificant. This is called tazkiyah. Rectification. Purification. Cleansing your soul, your ruh. So when you control that sin, and you don't go towards it, and you feel that pain inside, that, oh, if only I'd practiced that sin, it felt so nice if I'd done it. So just like in the world, if a person, a friend, he bears the difficulties for you, you make him your beloved. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala says, when you, my servant, bear the difficulties within you, the hardships, your desires, and your patience, Allah says, now you've become my beloved. Subhanallah. And this is tazkiyah. This is tazkiyah. And if we finish the path of tazkiyah, we say we want Allah Ta'ala's nearness within a second of seeing our teacher sitting with the wali's wala. No, we have to strive. Look at anger. Anger is a dangerous quality. Somebody's praying salah in the masjid. You leave the masjid. Somebody maybe says something to you. There'll be a fight. Oh, what happened? Why did he put his shoes on top of my shoes in the shoe rack? Oh, you are walking through the shoe rack and you brush shoulders with someone. Why did you bounce my shoulder? You're praying salah. You did sujood. You prostrated. You went in ruku. You're doing a great action. And people start fighting just outside the masjid. Go on hajj. Go on Ramadan and umrah. He's got to fast. But a person will not be able to bear or withstand a difficulty for a few seconds. Anger. Due to anger, a person commits such big sins, says bad things, divorces occur, fights occur in families, friendships break. A person's a friend or an associate for years, decades, and the friendship ends. Relationships end and are broken. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran about this quality, this effect of anger, the anger destroys. And if a person can absorb his anger and suppress his anger and bear his anger within, those people who don't just bear the anger, suppress the anger, and they on top of that forgive the opposite person who was opposed to them or had an issue with them. And not just forgive them, but the Quran says, what do? They don't just forgive, they bear with patience, they suppress the anger, they forgive the enemy, and they favor the enemy. Allah says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah says, when a person does this with his anger, then he becomes my beloved. He becomes my beautiful servant. Allah says, the anger's there. It's within. Hazrat Mulana Shaykh Ali Thanwi rahmatullah said that this making effort, striving, tazkiyah, tafsiyah qalb, and islah of the nafs, this doesn't get suppressed or hidden. Rather, you are changing the condition and your qualities. For example, a person who's got anger, he's fighting in every corner, in every moment. When he controls his anger, that same anger is utilized for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it becomes a reward for that person. So he's modifying it, controlling it, utilizing it in a positive manner, on a jais thing, on a permissible action, then Allah will give reward. So at the time when it was haram and he was utilizing anger wrongly, he's getting a sin. When he controls it, tames it, utilizes it correctly, he gets the reward. So my friends, when you turn the negative qualities and characteristics into the hamida, the good characteristics and qualities, you get the reward from Allah due to that control. Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah said, where do you get this condition and quality? Where do you learn this transformation from? The company of the friends of Allah. Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah said that if the negatives and the sins are transformed into good things, beneficial things, and halal things, where do you learn this transformation? The technique, the methodology? Where do you acquire this technique from? From the company of the Ahlullah. From the company of the walis of Allah. The company of the walis of Allah gives these qualities. You won't learn them from kitabs. You can't go on a course, a seminar, or a 2-day, 3-day, 4-day course. No, you will have to sit and be regular in association, connection with the walis of Allah, the Ahlullah. That's why we go to the gatherings. We make friendship with the walis of Allah. This is the association for the sake of reformation. If due to the association with a teacher, with a wali of Allah, our sins are being eliminated, wiped away, our negatives are decreasing, our bad qualities and actions are being turned into good things. For example, you had anger regularly, consistently, then Allah Ta'ala gives a reward. In Jami' al-Saghir, there's a hadith, a person who for the sake of Allah suppresses his anger. He suppresses his anger, squeezes it out, and he breaks it and throws it. For example, a person the day before is breaking the dishes, throwing pots and pans at the windows, shouting and swearing and abusing. The next day he's feeling angry, but for the sake of Allah, for Allah Ta'ala's fear, he's now learned how to suppress and control and tame the anger. The anger will change, and then he will suppress his anger, and he will control it, he will modify it, he will drink his anger. In the Jami Saghir, the hadith says that Allahu Akbar, a person like this who drinks, suppresses, swallows his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill his heart with iman and satisfaction and contentment and peace and bliss. So tell me, is anger a good thing or a bad thing? Anger can be a good thing if you utilize it correctly. Yeah, like a horse, a wild, untamed horse, running around wildly, throwing his hoofs back from his feet and hurting people. But when the trainer comes, makes friendship with the horse, tames it, and teaches it, that same horse, you ride on it and you go on journeys, and slightly you move the rein left or right, and the horse will fulfill the orders and the desires and the commands. So, my friends, if the nafs is not handed over and assigned to the master, the Hazrat, my teacher, my nafs, my desires is destroying me, please correct it. So when this anger is corrected, what does it become? Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into this nafs fills your heart with the iman and the belief and sakina. Allah says that anger that was in your heart and took you towards sin, it will be transformed into nur and light and bliss and blessings of Allah. All you did was you trained your anger, you changed the direction of your anger, you changed the form of your anger. And another hadith, it is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will announce that who is there today from my servants, which individual and human being is there upon whom my right is due. Who are those people upon whom my right is due? And nobody will stand at that time. Only those people will stand and return that call. They'll say, Allah, who are those people? Allah will say, who are those people upon whom my right is due? And they will stand and say, Allah, we are those people that when people oppressed us, we used to forgive them. For your sake, Allah, for your sake. And this is the rank and status that Allah will give to those people on the Day of Judgment. Anger. Anger is the same thing. Look, so this anger, this quality and characteristic of anger, we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot control it ourselves. To convert bad deeds into good deeds, to convert anger into love and good use, this is tazkiyah, this is tafsir, and this is what we have to have the company of the friends of Allah. We sit in the company, the pious people, the analyzers, the spiritual doctors, and they prescribe the mujahidah to us, that when you take hold of the company of the wali of Allah, you will not learn this from the books, as I said, from a course, from cuttings and media advertisements. Where will you get tazkiyah, tafsir of the heart? From the company of the walis of Allah. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi. Somebody, one of his students, analyzed and asked a question. Hazrat, my sheikh, my teacher, there's a lot of anger. You know, the students should present their deficiencies to the teacher. Hazrat, my teacher, he said, I've got a lot of anger. I can't control it. This anger will destroy me. I'm struggling. I've got problems. This anger has given me such a loss. I've got so much loss I've earned through my anger that I'm so distressed and unhappy. Please give me the cure for this anger. So Hazrat, rahmatullah, gave the solution that he said, look, there's a shop in Lucknow, Anwar Book Depot. Go to Anwar Book Depot. There's Muhammad Hussain there. He's the owner of that bookshop. Go to him and from me go and say to him, assalamu alaikum, and keep his company and sit with him. Sit with him. This was the order of his sheikh. So he went to Lucknow, to Anwar Book Depot. After a while, a letter came back. Hazrat, I don't even know where my anger's gone. It's totally disappeared. I don't even feel my anger anymore. I've become so soft and tender-hearted. People ask me, you don't even look like that man that you were before. You changed. What's happened to you? You used to be angry and fight and quarrel over every issue and statement and sentence. He said, ha, my sheikh, he didn't give me a speech. He didn't tell me to read a book. He didn't tell me to do anything. So how did I get reformed and changed? Where's my anger disappeared? So Hazrat gave an answer to that letter. That the point here is this, that the person I sent you to, he's very soft and tender-hearted. So saghir. His heart was soft. He was the one who loved others a lot. When you went to him and sat with him, then all of the qualities of that person overwhelmed you and came and absorbed into your heart as well at that same time. In that time that you were with them. So this is the point, alhamdulillah. A person to be rectified is the company of the friends of Allah. You don't just get this due to the association with the peer and the murid, the student, the teacher. People start to get afraid of this today, that this is innovation. These cultures and traditions of the sheikh and the teacher. Wali of Allah, who's the peer, who's the murid? People get scared. Who's the peer, who's the teacher? You don't need to be scared, my friends. This is the subject. This is the course, the tasawwuf, that will rectify our hearts, our souls, our nafs, and make us better human beings. So the struggling that we do, we attend the circle, we sit with the Hazrat, with our Shaykh, the teacher, do dhikr and afkar. We have this bit of program. When a person's lazy, that's your choice, I can't say anything to you. But this is the methodology, my friends. If you are fikr of the akhirah, the biggest thing, the person who is fikr and worry of the akhirah, he knows that tomorrow, the day of judgment, that these things will come out as goodness from the grave for me. That how much of a sin is more than zina. To be ungrateful, to lie to someone, to give false allegation, false witness, false testimony, to slander, to backbite. We think that these are not sins. Where will we take our ibadah on the day of judgment, my friends? Due to these sins, our ibadah will be reduced to dust. But we are so unaware. We are so unaware of our sins. Our nafs is so fat that we don't feel like going to present our sins and deficiencies to any wali of Allah. Oh, he is not Kamil. Why should I go to him? I need a famous sheikh, big, big title, big, big scholar, so I can tell people that I am the murid of that sheikh. Even if he doesn't ever come here for 10 years, but I will tell people that he's my sheikh, that great scholar. My friends, what we realize, that the closer the doctor is to you, physically, the closer the hakim is closer to you, isn't it a fact that you will get the cure quicker? If you're looking for weeks and months, and you have got a GP 4,000 miles away, will you go and visit him when you're ill? Of course you won't. So the case here is this, that the GP, if he's a mile, within a mile's radius of your home, you can visit him quickly, make an appointment quickly, get the prescription quickly. So why are you seeking a sheikh thousands of miles away? Allah's made a system. Allah Ta'ala said that the walis, my friends, the revivers are everywhere in every age. So definitely Allah Ta'ala will have sent one to our locality. So we should go, sit with that wali, understand that he is a wali, a friend of Allah. He can analyze me, assess me, diagnose me, scan me, make the list of my sins, deficiencies, help me, prescribe to me, give me a schedule so I can reform myself. This is essential. This is critical. Hazrat Thanvi, rahmatullah, said it is fard ain, compulsory on every individual in the ummah to attain, to find a sheikh and to do islah, rectify his nafs. We pray fard salah. We keep the fasting in Ramadan. We do hajj once in our life. So what about fard of keeping the teacher so we can rectify and reform the nafs, which is the root of all of our deeds? Consider this deeply, brothers. Understand what I'm saying deeply. Tomorrow in the grave, what will help us the most will be this reformation path, rectifying the heart, tazkiyah, cleaning the heart, purity. And you will sit and sleep in the grave with coolness, no punishments. But these sins, my friends, they are taking us towards the depths of the negative results. My friends, our nafs, our base desires don't even allow us to go and submit ourselves to a teacher. Alhamdulillah, we've got a great tariqah. We should go and find a teacher, ask him, am I right? Am I on the right path? Am I going towards success? I used to do 2,000 tasbih before, now I'm doing 15,000. I used to do 15,000 before, I'm doing 30,000 now. But am I progressing? And we have got so much passion. Sheikh, you gave me 2 lessons before, then you gave me lesson number 6, then I got lesson number 10, can you give me more? We're so much into getting more lessons. By getting more lessons and wazaif from the teacher, this does not increase your iman and get you closer to Allah automatically. Do you have fear of Allah? Is your niyyah correct and sincere? Do you have fear of Allah? Do you want to reform your heart? Do you want to leave the sins? And you are forced to, you can't leave zina, you can't leave zina of the eyes, you can't leave cannabis or alcohol or the sins or deceiving people, you keep on frauding people, befrauding people, you can't leave haram, money, dollars, pounds, thousands and thousands of millions of sins and illnesses spiritually I'm immersed in, but I don't want to go and sit in front of the spiritual master to get rid of my sins. How can I go and sleep and lie down on my mattress in the night with all these sins inside me? How can I start snoring in the night? It's amazing. I don't have no figure of my sins. I'm immersed in the haram and I'm lying down in my bed. I'm wasting my time, my life. My friends, once a person should at least go and take the company of his teacher and start to shake himself down from the sins. So, be careful and cautious. That this doesn't mean that if you have a teacher, a sheikh, you've got 10,000 tasbihs to do a day, and you've got the 10th wazifa, the 15th wazifa. No. Look at the objective of going to the teacher. Are my sins getting out of my body? Am I reducing and suppressing my anger? Am I eliminating the internal diseases? Do I forgive people more than I did before? If someone's done bad to me, am I leaving the revenge? If someone has not given to me, am I giving to him? Have I slandered and backbited somebody today? Have I sought forgiveness from that person? Fraud, hypocrisy, munafakat, deceiving people. And you're going still in the company of the walis of Allah. You're doing dhikr and adhkar and praying. At least think for a moment that are my internal diseases reducing? Am I eliminating my sins? No, then I have to strive and work harder. I have to bow my head in humility even harder. I have to take more company of the shaykh and the teacher. So this is called tafsiya qalb and tazkiya of the nafs. Purification of the heart and cleansing and purification of the desires. Reformation. Now Rasulullah, what does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. These are the three fundamental teachings of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the Sahaba and to us as the Ummah. And this is what Rasulullah left until the Day of Judgment. The Quran, his sunnah, which was the hikmah, and wa yuzakkihim. He cleansed and purified the hearts of the Sahaba and the Muslimin. And this will be the guidance for us until the Day of Judgment, until our graves, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the will and the courage to benefit from this. So time is short now, we'll go towards dhikr. We'll do silent dhikr. And what I recite, just repeat after me silently. Recite the Durood Sharif.